Welcome to the AI Lyceum, where we explore how AI is reshaping the world we live in, from creativity and ethics to commerce and communication. I'm Sam Raj. I'm a certified AI ethicist from Oxethica, based on a course from the University of Oxford, and I'm also a visiting lecturer at Durham University for AI and marketing. Each episode, I dive in with leaders from across the world, driving real innovation in AI and people who are seasoned in what they do. So in this episode, we're exploring one of the most human frontiers in AI, which is conversation itself, particularly with voice and voice search. So I'm introducing Charles Cadbury, who's CEO and co-founder of Say It Now, the award-winning technology company pioneering the next generation of actionable advertising. Charles founded it in 2018, so he's ahead of the curve. And now, obviously, we're seeing conversations being on the tip of our tongues, quite literally. So we're going to speak about the technology for the last decade he's worked on. He's also worked with the best businesses in the world, including Diageo, Marriott Hotels, Greggs, and many more. And he's a multi-award-winning technologist. He has led his company to Amazon's European Alexa Cup, and he won that. So he's obviously very good at what he does. And AI doesn't just speak to people. It listens, it understands, and acts. And so today we're going to dive into that. So we're going to explore what the future of voice search is and voice advertising. So over to Charles to add any more flavor to what I've just introduced him as.
No, thank you very much. It's great to be here. And obviously this is the time. This is the moment for agents and AI coming of age and people and consumers moving towards voice as their channel of choice, as a foundational piece. We believe that by 2030, voice will be the primary interface that people choose over their mobile or desktop to access digital products and services. So excited.
And just to open this conversation up, quite literally, you said conversation is the most natural interface there is. Can you just explain when you thought of that and what that means?
Well, you know, when I've got kids, they get really, really interesting about the age of 2.5, 3 when they start to talk, and you're able to kind of interface with them and, you know, see their face light up, convey thoughts, meanings, emotions, you know, what's life all about. And that's the way that we first really start to engage with the world and the other humans around us. If you speak to, you know, any kind of marketeer, their nirvana, what they're really trying to do is to have an authentic conversation with the consumer, because that's the way that they are going to be able to get across their kind of their value proposition and build long-lasting, meaningful, sticky relationships. And so that's obviously been the narrative for many, many years for kind of brands and marketeers, what they're trying to do. And they've only had certain tools at their disposal. You know, they have kind of newspapers and radio and TV, and, you know, that's all very much kind of a broadcast. But what we're able to do with conversation is to really get into a dialogue where, you know, you can listen as well as broadcast your message, and that's incredibly powerful.
Yeah, I agree. I think conversation is the best form of exploring brands. Social media has taken off because of that as well. People can comment, like, share. What would you say to the people that are saying, as devil's advocate, that brands and people, consumers don't really want to talk to brands? What would you say to them? Is it specific types of brands they talk to more?
People are interested when they can see the value that they can derive themselves. You know, we are quite, I'm not going to say lazy as a race, but we are efficient. You know, we're always looking for the path of least resistance and the easiest and quickest way to get things done. And that's where, you know, you speak at about 150 words a minute, but you can type at about 50 words a minute. So if I'm trying to enter my details into a website, it's going to take maybe 30 seconds or a minute for me to put in my name, address, or phone number with that. But if I'm just having a conversation with you, I can rattle it off in 15 seconds, and that's more efficient for me. And so, you know, the argument is to get jobs done, this is a quick and easy way to get things done.
Yeah, I agree. I remember when the Alexa came out in, what was it, 2018?
October 2014.
Wow, okay. That was a long time ago. I remember when I first bought it, and I was really excited about it, and I started ordering stuff from the Alexa, and that for me was the aha moment that e-commerce and audio experiences are going to become synergized, right? But now everyone's talking about commerce with ChatGPT and other tools. How do you see these two things working together?
So the hardest thing is to inspire people to have that, to take that first step and to have that conversation. And so if you look at the previous paradigms where we've allowed brands to create their own engagement within new technologies, we had the App Store, and I had a business making mobile phone apps in 2007. So we started to explore what could be done with mobile phone apps. And you had access to the App Store, and developers could build any kind of apps. And they had hundreds of thousands of apps, which nobody really used, you know, and we tried to work out, you know, how to create the right app. And really, nothing really worked unless you put some kind of marketing campaign to drive traffic towards that app. Same with the, you know, websites. People don't go to websites unless you drive traffic to that website. It's exactly the same with these kind of branded conversations. You know, no one's going to say, "Alexa, open Pizza Hut," unless they're told to say those words, and there's a reason for them to do it. And so when we kind of built this kind of this actionable ads paradigm, we looked to see exactly where what the behaviors were. What are people doing with these new smart speakers? We found out that they were listening to streaming audio and asking questions. And we thought, actually, now that people are listening to the commercial radio now, you know, about a quarter of all commercial radios listened to on smart speakers, if we could just put a call to action within those existing audio ad spots and say, if you'd like to get 50% off your pizza this evening, then just say, "Alexa, open Pizza Hut," then there's a reason for people to engage within the way that they're ingesting into their ears. They can then communicate then out of their mouth. And the big moment is for these devices to stop being broadcast and just having a speaker, but having a speaker and a microphone, so you can then get that kind of that real-time engagement. That's the evolution we've seen here.
Yeah, and it's really important right now, because we're entering the zero click era, right, where people are no longer needing to click on links to visit websites. So voice conversations are very similar. What was the wow moment, or the moment that you thought, this is going to take off and I want to invest in it and create a business around it?
Well, in 1988, my mother drove into the driveway in a burgundy Austin Maestro. And it was the most exciting car that I'd ever seen in my whole life, because within the middle of the dashboard, it had a voice synthesis unit. I could press a button and it would say average fuel consumption. And this was very exciting to me, because I was watching a TV program at that moment called Knight Rider. As an 8-year-old boy, Knight Rider with David Hasselhoff was an autonomous vehicle with a smart speaker and an AI assistant within it called Kit. And he could talk to the car. It was a talking car. And so at that point, I was like, okay, well, obviously in the future, we're going to be able to talk to our technology. Fast forward, there's a whole load of people that don't get the Kit reference anymore because I'm getting quite old. But if you look at Iron Man, right? So Tony Stark, when he is in his suit, right? He's talking to Jarvis. He doesn't get out an app to communicate with Jarvis to kill the bad guys. No, he talks to Jarvis. And Jarvis is this AI assistant that helps him get things done in his real life. And so imagine my excitement when I also bought an Alexa in 2014. And I could talk to this. And so this is obviously the next wave of human to computer or technology engagement, talking naturally with your voice. So having had a background where I built, you know, software businesses that built websites, Facebook apps, and lots and lots of mobile apps, obviously the next thing to do is to build a platform where people could build these voice apps. And Amazon had opened up the environment so the third-party developers, very much like Apple built the App Store and third-party developers could build apps, Amazon did exactly the same thing with Alexa. And that's when I started working with this environment and building a layer of technology to enable brands to very easily begin and grow those conversations with their consumers. And it's been quite the ride.
That was a long time to wait for building a company that, around an idea that you had when you were very young. So 25 years is a long time. You're really patient. How did you go about from, okay, thinking about, I have this idea, to actually making it happen? What were the steps that you had to go through to make it a real business?
Well, I was very lucky to be consulting with a fantastic man called Luke McNeese and his business Lola Tech. And they actually had a business selling big e-commerce systems into the travel industry. So they asked me in 2015, you know, in 10 years' time, think 10 years forward, Charlie, in 2025, how are people going to be booking their airline tickets? Right now, they're going on this website that we built, but in 10 years' time, how are they going to do it? And I was like, well, obviously, they'll be using their voice. And this new paradigm with Alexa just launched. So can we explore that? And so I was able to work with the team within that business. And the first proof of concept within that business was to prove that we could actually book an airline ticket just using your voice for one of the airline clients in 2015. So 10 years ago, we proved that actually we could actually build that flow. That got that team very excited. They said, actually, look, we're going to take some time to sell that into the airline. They didn't actually manage to sell it to the airline, but they wanted to build another product. Now, what products can we build around smart speakers? And so we looked to see, actually, they don't work very well in a busy environment. You know, you can't talk to Alexa if there's lots of other people around. It doesn't perform very well. But just you and Alexa on your own in a room works really, really well. And so we then had this idea, this concept for Dazzle within hotels, which we managed to launch with Marriott. And it was an in-room directory that you could speak to. So you took all of the stuff that, you know, the book you get within the hotel room, you would put that corpus of information within an Alexa skill, so that when you walked into the room, you could say, you know, what time to check out, when did the bar shut, do you have a spa here, and all of that information you could access just using your voice. So we rolled that out to a couple of different hotel groups. And I then got to meet my current co-founder, a guy called Sander Season, who has spent his life building platforms like Symbian and a huge amount of kind of mobile phone knowledge, working at a mobile for World Bank of Scotland and others. And he had the platform vision for us to then look and start this business, Say It Now, to help these brands operate within this world. And this whole concept then, the minute we launched that business, we ran into the Alexa Cup, which is a global competition that Amazon put out to try and look for forward-thinking teams. And we got very close to the Amazon team in Seattle there working, having won that competition. And then we just followed the pull, really, and solving one of the biggest problems with audio advertising, in that there's no way to understand which one of those adverts work. And if we could get people to respond to the ads that they're hearing using their voice, that gives us a load of data that we could then correlate and say, actually, people are more interested in a free coffee on a Thursday morning rather than a Friday evening.
That's a really interesting story. And obviously, I interviewed David Wood, who also co-founded Symbian. I think booking flights with it is, for some people, it's high risk. But based on how many people fly and how often nowadays, it's probably quite a sensical thing to do. It makes sense for a lot of people to do that, right? I need to ask a question that everyone's thinking about. A lot of people believe that these tools listen to you all the time and they're spying on you. And then they serve ads based on listening to everything that you're doing during the day. Is that true?
So we run network tests to debunk this as well. So the fact, and the way that Alexa works, is there's always 8 seconds of audio being recorded on a loop. So all the time, there's 8 seconds that's being recorded. The minute, and that's listening for the wake word Alexa. The minute that Alexa hears that wake word Alexa, it sends the previous 8 seconds of recording up to the cloud, and it opens a channel with the cloud, with the Alexa cloud. At that point, you're talking directly to the Alexa service, and Alexa starts that context with the 8 seconds of audio that it's heard before that. So it's only at that moment that there's an open channel to the Alexa cloud, and that constant 8 seconds is not ever shared until you say the wake word Alexa, so it's got a little bit of context. So that's how that works.
Oh, wow. Okay. And why is it 8 seconds? Do you know?
Because it's a short amount of, I don't know whether they've chosen 8 seconds, but it's obviously kind of the context window, which helps Alexa immediately respond to what you've asked.
Yeah. And you mentioned context window. So context is obviously one of the most popular words right now. Model context protocol is big in AI. People are talking about context being the most important thing. What do you define as context, and how important is it both in your area of the AI space or ad space, but also just generally for advertising and AI now?
So we create very, very short conversations, very pointed conversations that are driving towards a specific outcome. So in the world of the web, for ad campaigns, you normally have a landing page or a microsite, which have a very specific job to get you to go perform that next action, book that test drive, or buy that product. we have exactly the same concepts. You just talk to it rather than visit on a website. So in terms of context, like, we know that all of the traffic that's coming into the experiences or conversations we build have started because someone has seen an ad on the TV. So they've seen an ad for Royal Caribbean about going on their next ocean trip. So we know that people come in by saying, "Alexa, open Royal Caribbean. Would you like to find out more about what life is like at sea, or shall I send you a brochure?" Right. So we're having a very short conversation to give them enough information for them to then complete that next action. And the completion of that next action is getting easier and easier for us to do within the confines of that conversation, because there's more we can do from an agentic perspective. So historically, we'd have had to try and get someone to receive a link so that they could then give us their details and book that test drive. Now we can say, okay, now you know everything about the new Mercedes, and I can see that you're free on Saturday afternoon at 2:00. Shall I book you a test drive? So again, the onus comes off the consumer to take that next action, and more can be done within the assistant. This is the kind of the world of agentic advertising we're heading towards.
Yeah, I really agree. I think AI assistants at the moment are very reactive, so I have to prompt it to get an answer back. But I'd love it to be proactive and say, "Hey, I've been thinking for the past week. I've seen all of your habits. I've seen you've been ordering chocolate a lot. You've been ordering a lot of beer, Cruz Campo for me. And it will come to me and recommend maybe better beers, new chocolates, and et cetera, et cetera." I've got a brief for you, which I want you to answer right now on the call. So I have a podcast. You might know about it. You're on it right now. And I want to try and grow it using voice search. What would your recommendation be? What's the strategy, and what approach would you recommend for me right now? I know it's on the spot. We haven't rehearsed this, so
on the spot. No, yeah. So it's already good. So, you know, with targeting techniques, you can find the right audience, the right other podcasts. So you can find, you know, you are looking for advertising marketing professionals who are interested in futurism and AI, right? You can build that audience, then you can create an ad, right? Create an audio ad. We've got a number of AI tools that we can use to create an ad. We can use your voice, and you can say, "Hi, look, if you want to find out more, you should listen to our podcast to subscribe to our podcast and never miss an episode." So Alexa open, right? And then within that experience, you can give them a little snippet of the kind of content that they would expect, and then you can get a reminder set so that every time you release a new episode, they get a ping on their Alexa, and that they come back and they never miss an episode. So within that journey, you will then get access to our reporting studio, so you can see where those ads have been served. So perhaps they'll go out on certain podcast networks, like we are on Acast. You might actually get some going out on Spotify. You might get some going out on niche radio stations, and you can see when those ads have been served, what time of day, and which creative has been served. Then you can tell when people have said Alexa open, and at that and at that point, it's like a click. So you can actually see that people are more interested in finding out more and subscribing to your podcast on maybe a Saturday morning than on a Monday evening. At that point, you use that data to buy more ads on a Saturday morning, buy less on a Monday evening. Then you can spend the same amount on your media budget, but get a better return, more people listening to your podcast. So that's how people kind of are using the data to better manage their media and get better outcomes.
Thank you. And if anyone listening hears one of these adverts, then it's Charles and my fault. So apologies for that. In terms of the metrics, so you told me the strategy of the campaign. What metrics are going to matter to me?
Amazing. So so we've got a concept we call like a voice through rate, which is very similar to a click through rate. How many ads do we need to serve in order to get someone to say, "Alexa, open AI Lyceum"? So that's a key metric that we look at. We're tending to get kind of between 0.05 and 0.2 as a voice through rate, depending on the quality of the offer and the quality of the creative that we put out. Then that's got somebody within the skill, they're having a conversation. The next one we look at is the completion rate, or the goal outcome. So that is someone booking a test drive, that is somebody buying a product, that is someone setting a reminder. We tend to get between a 20 and a 40% conversion rate. Once somebody starts a conversation, they tend to complete it. You get, when you begin a conversation, you get caught up in this concept of conversational cadence. You're used to talking to your smart speaker. It's very natural. The conversation is very natural, so you tend to complete it. So that's where the real win is for advertisers. If you compare that to, you know, the best performing landing page or microsite, you'll get a maximum of about a 5% conversion rate. We're able to improve that by about 6 times, but 30 to 40%.
Thank you. I really agree. I think conversational cadence is, I've never heard of that particular coining of the term, but I agree that having conversations and staying in a platform is going to be more important for advertisers, especially in ChatGPT, Gemini, etc. On that note, what do you recommend advertisers look at as key metrics for the new era of searching?
You've got to be in it to win it, right? So if you, the way these platforms are being built out, if you don't provide the platforms with the way that you would like to be represented as a brand, then the platform will tend to do it for you. So within the Gemini is just bringing out, so we work with Alexa, and we used to work with Google, with Google Assistant, with Google Actions. They sunset that program in 2023. That's coming back. So Gemini for Homes just coming back again. So we'll soon be able to support that. We will be able to build discrete agents within Siri sometime in 2027. We're expecting to be able to do the same thing with Meta AI next year as well. So, but so it's a bit like building an app for the App Store. You know, if your brand, so you're EasyJet, if you don't have an app within the Apple and Android App Store, then it's really hard for people to engage with you with all the features that you get from a mobile phone. It's exactly the same with these assistants. You need to build a specific agent. So Alexa's moving from skills to experts. So you need to build an expert. You can have that voice with the voice of your brand. It can carry all of the kind of your brand tonality and all of your brand guidelines. You can bring in, and you can point those conversations so that they always end up with the action you want the consumers to come out of. So you've got to build and to maintain.
I think people listening to this episode are saving like thousands of pounds having to consult marketing consultants instead of that. They can listen to this episode. So you're welcome for free information from Charles. What would you say are the legal and ethical implications of this new era of AI advertising?
But from an ethical perspective, you know, I think if you'll have your own business and brand ethics. So I think as long as you build these experts or agencies, kind of branded agents, they're representatives of your brand. So think of them similar of building a website that conforms to your brand guidelines. It has to represent everything that your brand stands for and do that in a considerate way that's in line with the rest of your communication. From an ethical perspective, I think there's a challenge that this is going to get very, very good. And, you know, advertising is, by its very nature, slightly manipulative. You know, we're trying to get people to do things they might not have thought about doing before you start to communicate with them. And I think that this is going to get better and better and better, you know, as we kind of get the ability to communicate to an audience of one. And I know that, you know, you're more susceptible to an authoritative male voice. Those conversations will have a higher likelihood of convincing you to do things you weren't considering doing before. Is it right for you to harness that power? I think that's where we're getting. Is that we're moving to a world where we're able to not necessarily manipulate, but you know, to control people's actions, and we need to tread carefully there.
Yeah, in the advertising industry, we have the ability to use all this data to influence decisions. And what sort of data do you use at the moment to make the best campaigns for your clients?
Look, one of our key patents is the ability to procedurally create a conversation based on information held within the header of an ad tag. So if you think about, you know, all these advertising dreams, they're programmatically. So think about a campaign which can A/B test millions of different creatives to work out exactly what you need to hear to engage. Then you get very, very good at that bit. Then when you do engage, you know who you're having that conversation with, and you can alter the phrasing and the voices that are heard and the specific offer to massively increase the likelihood of that audience to go down that conversational path and deliver the outcome that you're trying to drive towards. That's, you know, with infinite time and infinite kind of A/B testing, that'll get very, 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 very good over. And so what you're testing, the data that you're pulling out, is exactly what media placement, what time of day within which publisher is delivering the highest voice through rate for that particular audience, and then the conversation, which type of conversation, which conversational flow is actually converting better. So you've got lots and lots of different data points from the tonality, the words that you're using, the time of day, to then optimize. And that's you know, the programmatic nirvana that you can actually see every single micro action along the way. And that's what happens with conversations. It's far more intricate than just watching people click buttons on websites and going down a specific flow, because conversation is so nuanced.
Yeah, it's really true. In advertising, we have lots of different channels, right? So one channel might be display, one might be video, one might be audio, and your channel is audio. How do you prove the value of your channel? What recommendations do you have, or what do you currently do with advertisers to measure the true incremental impact of this channel?
It's very early, so we have to align very much with the way that people are measuring other things at the moment, which is why we talk in these terms. You know, our voice, when someone says Alexa open, that's like a click. When someone's going through and having that conversation, we're driving towards an outcome. That's a goal, and that's the way that people measure other channels. So we align with that and try and benchmark and improve the benchmarks that they are seeing, say, on display over in audio. Because we're running ads on TV, running ads on audio, when people start to wear glasses, then we'll be able to have voice enabled out of home as well. So the big unlock here is for, you know, the way that we talk about and think about it is the legacy media, ambient media, that has been laggard or late to its digital transformation journey. So that's outdoor, that's radio, and that's TV. It's late to its digital transformation journey because there's no ambient way to engage with those media, and there's no real-time data. We fundamentally believe that voice is the soul for all that. Once you can talk to an outdoor ad, you can talk to an audio ad, you can talk to a TV ad, then that gives the kind of unlock that we've seen in other digital channels, where you can actually measure the efficacy of each one of those ad placements. And there's a huge amount of value to be unlocked, similar to the value that was unlocked when we had our first move to digital on the web, and then that next move up to mobile. We're having a similar unlock for the rest of this, due to the combination of voice being able to engage with the legacy ambient media.
Yeah, and digital out of home is rapidly increasing in interest because they want to drive in-store traffic, right? And geo is a key between all channels now. You want to see in a particular region, are we driving generally more traffic and more sales based on this mix of channels? Is it all going up based on the spend going up, et cetera, et cetera? So, really interesting.
So the way we'll move it to is that kind of granularity where I can be driving down the motorway and I can see an advert says, hey, like, Charlie, come to Mauritius to find out more. Ask your assistant about TUI Mauritius. I can say, hey, Alexa, tell me about TUI Mauritius while I'm driving along, right? And by the time I get home, I've called a trip and I'm heading to Mauritius. That conversation, because we'll know the lat long where I started that conversation, we'll be able to attribute my trip to Mauritius with TUI to that billboard that I drove past half an hour ago. And being able to deliver that kind of that real-time attribution is a big step towards that digital transformation journey of these kind of legacy ambient media.
Yeah, I really agree. I think people are going to be, everything's going to merge together, right? It's going to be difficult to prove the value of each specific channel separately. It's all going to be a blurred journey. OpenAI apparently are making a device. My questions to you are, one, what do you think the device is? And two, what would you want it to be? And three, how would we use it?
So the brief here is reimagine the mobile phone in a world where we've got AI. And I think, you know, if you look at the steps that we had, so we went from newspapers to web, and that was great. We had access to all the information in the world. Then, but it was anchored to your desk. Mobile unlocked that and allowed us to take all that information with us. But it was still a screen that was just doing what you were doing on your desk, but really it was an efficient screen with a touch screen. I think the next step is to take that screen away. You know, Golden Krishna said the best interface is no interface. And so you want everything that you've had in the past from your desktop to your laptop to your mobile, you need to have that as kind of table stakes. But then you need to be able to access all of that kind of functionality, but without a screen that doesn't get in the way of your life. So it's going to have to be some kind of mixed media. I think that you need a bit of a display. Like multimodal is really important. So some kind of mixed reality. I'm big on glasses. I think glasses are where this is all heading. By 2030, we'll all have some kind of smart glasses with some kind of opportunity to have a display. I think Meta's bang on the money here. And your primary interface will be voice, and then the way you receive data will be audio, and then a little bit of imagery.
Yeah, the glasses one's a difficult one for me to predict. I feel like it's either going to be very popular or very unpopular. It's hard to figure out. But if it is going to happen in the future, I see a projector coming out from glasses. So projecting a screen in front of me, and I can control it with my mind or with gestures or something. And after that, it'd be contact lenses, which are projectors. So you implement a serum into your eyes. It is a prescription, and it also is a projector. So we'll have like nano technology within the body. That's what I think the future is. And with regards to advertising, there's a concept or a term called mind crime, where these tools can be hacking our mind and you know, doing certain things to affect us. Do you see that being an issue in the long term if advertising becomes integrated into AI?
Yeah, I mean, back to that previous point, that ethics point. It's just when this gets too good, you know, the number of data points we have and the understanding that we of the micro decisions that people are making on a day-to-day basis and the ability to influence those, as advertisers get better and better at knowing how to craft that journey and drive the outcomes they want, then that is effectively the mind crime you're talking about. And where do you draw the line? I think that's a great debate.
Yeah, it is. And like for me, I think in the next few years, we're going to see people using OpenAI, Gemini, et cetera, more for voice texting in these tools. I've been using OpenAI a lot for dictating to it because typing's too arduous. Do you use it for dictating to it, or do you talk to these tools as well and have conversations?
Yeah, very, very much. I mean, when I'm putting a blog or a thought piece together, then it's a back and forward conversation I have with ChatGPT, and then that helps me construct the bones of the argument, then I can then go and write.
Did you do it for this episode?
No. This is all fresh, fresh for you,
Charlie GPT. Okay. What have you been most impressed with in the past couple of years regarding tools? Maybe this year is probably better question.
Well, I'll tell you what I've been waiting for. Look, I've been working with Alexa for 10 years, and for the last 2 years, I've been promised the concept of an upgrade, because at the moment, you speak to Alexa, and it feels like the laggard of the bunch. And the Alexa Plus upgrade, which was announced on the 26th of February this year, promises that the 600 million Alexa devices in the world are suddenly going to start to talk to you like the way that you speak to ChatGPT and Gemini. That's a really, really exciting moment, because it means that we'll start to see very rapid mass adoption within the home. It's very important that Gemini just launched Gemini for Home. So what they're doing, those two massive assistants, is they're having this huge generational battle. So because these are so good now, the ability for these assistants to really, really genuinely help in your everyday life in a delightful way, the usage, your kind of dwell time, is going to rapidly spike. And, you know, every member of the house will be able to have a longer, more meaningful conversation with these assistants, and they'll be baked into the run of the mill, the run of the household. the household will choose Gemini or Alexa. And, you know, if it's a multi-generational household, then it's very, very likely that then that assistant will be taken out of the house and help you run the rest of your life. So it's never been more important for these huge tech companies to get you to choose their assistant, because they're going to become everybody's best friend, getting so much done for them. I'm very excited about the war that's going to play out, because it's all good for the voice.
Yeah, that's a really important point. I found actually that using these audio tools, these devices in a household, consumes so much Wi-Fi. And if I'm on a call, like with you, and I'm using loads of devices and they're all plugged in and on, it makes the call slower by a massive margin. So we're going to be entering a period where people are trying to do things online, but then these tools and devices are all draining a lot of their Wi-Fi and making things slower. Have you seen that yourself? And what are your responses to that?
I personally haven't seen it affecting the bandwidth within the house. But I, you know, this, as these go up, this is what's going to drive all the power requirements. You know, I'm more worried about the amount of power that's going to be required for the massive spike in kind of AI usage, and that's the cost of that is going to fall down to consumers. And then the supply, how quickly can we build the power that's required to deliver all of this AI infrastructure? I think that's a larger challenge rather than bandwidth of the house, which I think will be solved.
Yeah, and the UK's just made a deal, haven't they, with OpenAI to have that at the centre of our economy. I do think we're moving into compute as a currency for how the world operates, and sovereign AI is going to become more important. But the AI supply chain's got lots of components. One of the components is a GPU, which is obviously the graphics processing unit. But we have precious metals and raw materials in there, which when you dig into the earth, it releases CO2. But also when we're powering these AI models, the data centers heat up a lot, and so we need to cool them. So all of this is creating the need for water, high consumption of electricity, a lot of heat in these data centers, and carbon emissions. So I feel like, even to your point of the power, the more power that we need, the more emissions there are going to be in the world, and making it sustainable is going to be a bit of a challenge. So do you have any thoughts on that? I know that is probably
energy is not my area, but to hear what Bezos said about this the other day, he said, well, the we're going to build data centers, the best place to build them is in space, right? So you build a data center, you whack it up into low orbit, it's got all the energy it needs from the sun, and you just beam back, you know, through a high-speed link, all the data. So I mean, the logic's there.
I've seen it. So I haven't seen that exact thing. I've read it somewhere. But I went to the Museum of the Future in Dubai, and in that museum, obviously, there's futuristic stuff. I don't think it's going to be that futuristic now, because everything's happening so quickly. But they have an example of the moon having solar panels for miles and miles on it, tons of solar panels. And then, obviously, the sun will power those. A signal or laser will beam it down to Earth or something. I don't know. Signal will give us that power, that energy. And I feel like that could be the future, where we have panels in space floating around, and then they send power back to us.
Well, I think wireless power is much harder than wireless data. So you know, at the moment, the only wireless power is lightning, and that tends to fry your electronics. But putting all those solar powers on the moon and then whacking a massive data center and sending that data back, I think it's a lot more feasible.
Wow, I didn't really. Know that until now. What you just said, it resonated quite well. What do you think? What would you recommend Jeff Bezos to do, and Google and Anthropic and all of these companies? Because OpenAI has just released that they're building a chip with Broadcom.
I'm a little bit far removed from the infrastructure requirements of these. You know, my expertise sits a lot more along the edge and at the interface level. That's why I say I couldn't possibly comment.
Okay, so for OpenAI, if they were going to release an audio offering, what would you recommend them to do?
I think they need to understand the landscape. They need to encourage brands to engage and create their own piece of that puzzle. And I think they, you know, we've we've got a lot of understanding of how that should look like. But I don't think that's their game. You know, they're a platform play rather than a delivery piece. You know, where we sit is more along the edge of that delivery.
Yeah. I feel like in the future, OpenAI is going to have voice ads when you're talking to the, let's say you're talking to it to create an article or something like you mentioned, every 5 minutes or so, there'll be an ad in there. Do you think that will happen?
No, because I think that's a terrible experience, and they need to be sticky and delightful. I think they need to be a lot more clever and permissive. You know, the way that the whole idea of, you know, Alexa's a little bit like a Victorian child. It doesn't speak until it's spoken to, and so you only get into these kind of branded moments if you decide to do that. I think the minute you surface unwanted advertising, people run a mile. So it's got to be very, very permissive in the way that you're engaging. It has to be your idea to engage at that moment, and by doing that, you get a far better experience and better outcomes for the advertiser.
And on that note, if for the past few years, obviously, you've been managing some of the biggest clients in the world for their campaigns. What are some of the most challenging questions you've had around this area?
We've done a really good job in kind of behavior change. So, you know, we've worked with the government this year trying to get people to check their smoke alarm and set regular reminders to check their smoke alarm on a monthly basis. So we've seen kind of real behavior change. But there's a whole lot of areas we can't work. So, you know, we constantly get asked whether we can work with gambling clients, and we can't do that. So there's constraints within the platforms and within Amazon's compliance. It keeps us kind of true to what's allowed within their world.
I don't think anyone really knows that these sort of things can be done, where you're working with governments to promote smoke alarm usage and checking it. I think that's ingenious, and it's keeping us quite safe as well.
The most exciting thing this year has been working with His Majesty's Revenue and Customs. You know, they had a new app, and so we kind of ran audio campaigns with them that worked so well that we started running TV campaigns, so you could find out more about this HMRC app and then download it. And dull as it sounds, and that from a petty perspective, it's quite nice to actually start to get paid from HMRC rather than having them on the other side of the ledger.
But then they'll know how much tax you need to pay.
Well, there it is, but you know, it's two-way now.
Yeah, and we're moving on to the last question now. So the last question is to the audience. So if anyone listening on YouTube, Spotify, Amazon, Apple, wherever you are, a question for them to think about or to comment back from you.
So my question is, you know, if you could have one conversation at scale, what's the most powerful conversation that you would like to have?
Wow. What would my one be? So if I had a conversation at scale. The most interesting one, if it was with AI and AI could answer anything, it'd be, what is our purpose as humans? If AI was AGI, that'd be my question. What would yours be, Charles?
Well, so let's look. We employed a conversationalist in residence. He'd done his DPhil in Oxford in the art of conversation, and we were exploring. We've got kind of a 6 essays on this, kind of what conversation means to the human experience, because it's just such an important part of our experience of life. And if you're able to have better conversations and find yourself to kind of get out of the day to day back and forth and explore deeper narratives, it's incredibly enjoyable and rewarding. So I think conversation is a big part of who we are, and the better we get at it, the richer lives we can live.
And everyone listening to this has had a richer life because of you and me, more so because of you. I just want to say thanks for your off conversation, and it's been a really good episode. So I'd love to hear everyone's comments around the question from Charles, and let's see what they come up with.